Hey, 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 conscious leaders, a warm welcome to today's episode. I'm very excited because, as many of you know, I am going through perimenopause and I'm trying to have as many discussions about this conversation. And actually, when I started Conscious Leaders, I was told to follow Zoli Kamadlala, and I was very intrigued. And, you know, she joined the Conscious Leaders and I've been watching all her interactions and I thought, no, I have to get her onto the show to come and talk to us about perimenopause and all of the challenges that exist within perimenopause, and specifically in the Black communities. This is one of the interesting things that I saw when reading the book, is that, you know, although Zoli is going through her own journey, that she decided to take it full on by going into menopause, researching it, understanding this narrative that is painted and people that are deprived of information and knowledge. And today we really want to unpack that. So her book is called Perimenopausal Globetrotter, and you will share with us how we're going to reach the book. But I would like to start and open up to say a warm welcome, Zoli Kamadlala. So honored to have you here. I can't wait to dive into this conversation because I'm super passionate about it.
Thank you so very much, Karen. I'm excited to be here. And it's always wonderful to have this conversation, a very needed conversation. I am looking forward to what we're going to be able to cram in, because there's never enough time to talk of perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. But I'm looking forward to the ground that we're going to be able to cover through this conversation.
Excellent. So one of the things that really stood out for me is that you had a very, very premature experience of perimenopause in your 30s, and head on meeting it full frontal. So from my perspective, I want to ask you, what was that first feeling that you had that something is wrong with your body, and who did you call?
You know, I always say that the feeling took years, actually, to finally put a finger into it. I used to put it off as one thing or another, because, I mean, as we know, perimenopause has got so many symptoms. So if it's a subject that is hardly spoken about and you start experiencing these weird symptoms, the first reflex is to treat the symptom as a random thing. So for a while, when I would get like the insomnia, I would think, because at that time I was working as a flight attendant, it was maybe due to my traveling, the change in the time zones. So I was not paying attention. And when I would get digestive issues also, I would just be thinking, let's have activated charcoal. What did we eat when we were traveling? Or, you know, those things. So only when I started getting the psychological symptoms of perimenopause, then did I sit up and be like, no, but something is seriously wrong. Then I started backtracking now to check that the past few years, this is what I've been going through. This is what I've been going through. So the first person that I called was my GP, because after connecting the dots and kind of using Dr. Google, I knew that this was beyond me. I needed to go for a consultation. So Dr. Nell was the first person that I actually called. Not my mom, not my friends, but I went for a proper consultation.
And once you found out, okay, you are now officially in perimenopause, what feelings did you go through? How did you feel? Because, I mean, I know that many women start the perimenopause symptoms in their 30s. It starts, but it's not so aggressive. It's more aggressive as you go into your 40s. Most majority of women start their perimenopause in their 40s. What did you do when you found out, okay, right, I've got perimenopause? What was your reaction and how did you handle it?
It was a lot of not so good emotions, thoughts and all of that. Obviously, firstly, you ask yourself, what did I do wrong? Because we like internalizing things. Firstly, what did I do wrong? Because if menopause happens before the ages of 45, you need to do certain tests to find the cause or why did you have to go through it early. In my case, we could not pinpoint a reason, because for some women, it could be maybe genetics. It can be certain autoimmune diseases. It can be maybe the lifestyle and all of that. But then there's a percentage where there is no known reason. and I fall in that spectrum. Hence, I'm still doing research because my mind is refusing to say that the reason is unknown. There has to be a reason, which is another conversation based on the research that I'm doing. So it was a lot of emotions like loss, because, I mean, it's like, who am I going to talk to? Because I tried to obviously speak to women my age, my friends, and they were nowhere near there. So they did not get what I was going through. My mom had not gone into it. And I tried speaking to older women and they would look at me like, child, what are you talking about? And as you mentioned that as Black people, there's still certain conversations that are not as easy to have. So whenever I try to speak to older women just to hear from them, normally they will try to brush it off. And that loss of choice also, because, I mean, when you are there, your possibilities of having children are gone, none, out of the window. As much as I always say that I was fortunate because in my early 30s, I had conversations with myself. Do I want to have children or not? So fortunately for me, I did not want to have children. But still, that loss of choice, it does play a number on your mind, you know, like, oh, flip. I always thought that I'm in control. Having children is my choice. So when now that option is out of the window, you are going to grieve that. And I always say, I cannot even begin to imagine what it's like for a woman that wants to have children and they go into premature menopause and that option is out of the window. Their grief must be a whole lot more. So if I'm lost, if it's a lot of questioning, also conversations with God, also understanding what was the reason, because I always say everything that we go through, you need to try and find the picture, the reason through it. And mine ended up being a silver lining because I was like, you know what, I'm outspoken and I don't mind putting myself out there. And that's how the menopause advocacy work came about, just removing the shame, getting the conversations going, demystifying the myth, saying that, you know what, it can happen before time, but it does not mean that life is over, that your value and your worth as a woman is over, that you can still find love, because most women also think that, oh, wow, which man is still going to look at me if I've gone through this phase of life before time? And I'm sharing that even in my book, that, you know what, you can chase your dreams, find new career goals, find love, chase adventure. Menopause does not spell the end of your life.
I absolutely love that. You know, one of the things going through perimenopause, I think that gets me a lot is the weight gain. The weight gain for me is I actually had a gastric band operation, I would say 2018 to lose 30 kilos. So you can just imagine after going through that traumatic experience that I'm now back at square one and I actually look bigger than I looked like then, and I've only gained 10 kilos because I'm all puffed up and I can see it, and it's, and my hair and everything is going, you know, upside down. And then the other thing that's really getting to me is the brain fog. You know, I've always been a person on stages, you know, on this podcast. I am always presenting and teaching and educating and very much in that arena. But then I find myself that I'm clasping and I can't remember words the way I used to. And it's so challenging. And you do go through a complete, you do feel shame because you are aware that you're not yourself. You don't feel confident. You know, it's only now when I started having the conversations where women are saying, because I went to a gynecologist and we did all of the tests and it doesn't show up on the actual results. And, you know, I know there's something wrong, you know, when you know, and then when you start talking to other women and you get that validation and the night sweats, I've even named my fan. I call my fan my it's called Fanny the Nanny because she's blowing me air that I can just cope and taking care of me during the night during this load shedding, because it can get really, really tough. But I think for me, I would like to understand, what was your symptoms? You know, it's not easy to go through it. And where did you sometimes feel, I don't like being this version of myself? Because if I think it's a process, like you go through up and down. One day you're good, one day you're not. So the yo-yo effect.
Sure. I always say, even in the book, I call my symptoms the box of choice assorted biscuits, because I went there were so many symptoms in hindsight. Because, as I said, every woman's experience is different. And normally we get told that you need to look at your mom's experience to get an idea what their experience was like. As I said, I went into it before my mom, but our experience was completely different. She had lesser symptoms. I mean, we had conversations eventually. In the beginning, the conversations were a bit stilted because, I mean, they never spoke about those things. So she never used to get why I want to talk about this. But even when we could speak about it, I became aware that hers was not as severe as mine. And for those that are not as screwed up, obviously, the female hormone that is at play during perimenopause is estrogen more than anything. So it's going haywire, depleting. And because it's responsible for so much of our functioning, the symptoms, I mean, they start from our hair all the way to our feet. Yet again, as I said, every woman's experience is different. So with me, I had things like a ringing of the ears. And you can imagine at that time, I was working for the national airline as a flight attendant. We are there primarily for safety of passengers. So you need to be in tune of all the slight sounds. Should there be a technical error going on with the aircraft, you should be able to pick it up. And when you get tinnitus, which is the ringing of the ear, sometimes you like, is everybody hearing the same thing or is it just me? Then you have to find ways of sussing out whether others are hearing that. So I struggled with things like how your tinnitus and dry, bitter, metallic taste in the mouth. I find myself normally having to have something. I share in the book that I even would have stone, like the pumice stone that they sell to scrub your feet. At some point, I just wanted like weird taste to satisfy whatever that was happening. In the book, I mentioned the condition is actually called pica. Some people will even eat things like your eyes, limestone, and all of that. Or sometimes you find women suddenly wanting to eat like things like sweets. And if you pay attention, even older ladies, like I know with the grandmothers that I've grown around with, suddenly they like all this nice tasting things that they never used to like. And now in hindsight, it's like they're trying to actually deal with this metallic taste that they're experiencing. As I said, my digestive issues, they went through the window. And in the book, the chapter even termed it TMI because it's too much information. But because I wanted to paint the picture, I shake. Like the things that I would use to go through, even like the bloating, having to drop some bombs sometimes in the presence of people because like you cannot hold it in, you just need to.
I love that. Thank you for the TMI. That's what we need in this conversation is TMI.
Listen, we're not going to win this removing the shame and the stigma if you still want to only talk about the pretty things or try to make menopause look what it is not. We need to be honest about it. Things like your heart palpitations, anxiety. I struggled with all of that. I'm not even mentioning hot flashes because, I mean, hot flashes, they're almost like the golden child. Everybody knows about hot flashes. So I had that. I had the night sweats. Loss of balance. So imagine working as a flight attendant. Okay. You have to push the trolley sometimes or carry the tray to serve the business class passengers, sir, ma'am. And then while your balance is not the best. So there will be near miss accidents here and there, which it means that it's important for organizations to be part of this, because then how do you navigate showing up at work when some of these symptoms also follow you to work? So I struggled with so much, even things like weak and brittle nails. Yet again, as a flight attendant, you're supposed to show up, your makeup is proper, you've got nail polish and all of that. And I had to have conversations eventually because I could not keep putting on nail polish and all of that when I could see that it's making the my nails more brittle, more weak. Then you add the brain fog, as you mentioned it, like I always call it like the buffering. It's like the computer when it's loading. You know what you want to say, but it's not connecting. And so it was just a whole lot of things. And that is why, as I say, when depression and irritability and all of that hit, I knew that either I am taking my life because of how bad it was. I kept envisioning just how do I exit this life? Should I just let go of my steering wheel while driving, crash, then it's over. Then I can get the peace, the relief that I needed. Or I'll be taking a bath and just imagine just losing my footing, slip, fall, hit my head, and then it's over. It got really hectic with the symptoms. But once one is informed, I always say then it's better because then you are able then to counter and prepare for any of the symptoms. As you were saying, like you've got your trusted fan. I'm sitting next to you just in case my fan is here. I've got my glass of water just in case I can feel the personal summer approaching. Yes, to us. Cheers.
Cheers. So,
you learn to navigate this, like how you dress, if you need to make notes so that you are able to remember the things that you need to remember, removing certain foods from your diet, trying to track your sleep. So being informed when it comes to perimenopause, I think it makes it all the more navigatable. Otherwise, you can imagine how big your medical bag or your medical cabinet is going to be filled, because then you're going to be taking this to treat this one symptom, you're buying this to treat this, you're doing this and that and that. All the while, it's just understanding that it's the hormones that are at work, that are at play, that are going haywire inside.
You know, it's very interesting that you discuss it, because I can completely relate to all of these things. And it's actually so refreshing just to have a conversation where it is the reality. Like when I never used to eat avocado, I hated it. And then when I used to go to the ships, I worked on the ships for 4 years in America. And there I would have guacamole now and then. And then I was convinced I was allergic to it. I didn't enjoy it. And so I never touched it again. And all of a sudden I'm having avo every single morning. It is a thing for me now. And I'm like, okay, well, clearly my body needs it. I'm eating things that I never used to eat. But it is moving towards a more healthier side. So this is why, and I also eat very little. So I know, okay, this thing is going to have to get sorted. So I'm actually seeing an endocrinologist to test all my hormones. I have a 3-month waiting list. But I'm also trying to fast and do those things. But I think also the transitioning is like your clothing has to change so that you feel comfortable. I agree with the note taking. I should actually start doing that a little bit more. But I think the other thing that really showed up for me was I started noticing, apart from the brain fog, I started noticing my ADHD. I always knew I had ADHD, but I've always been able to maintain it. I've never had to be on medication or anything like that. And I started realizing, yes, it almost amplifies everything that's wrong with you. And I started realizing this is really getting hectic. And after my dad passed away during the pandemic, I thought, let me just go and have a test and to see, because he had autism. Let me just go and see, because my behavior is changing so much and I don't understand what's going on in my brain. So anyway, I went through the neurodiverse center. Did a full analysis on my neurodiversity, and voila, there it came out. But it's the menopause that almost amplifies, you know, that part of you. Another thing that I found very interesting in my area of study, and where I'm so curious about everything from emotional, spiritual, how the mind works, and then how it works in business and everything. And I spoke to quite a few people that are gifted, like psychics, and a lot of them say that when they were pregnant or going through menopause is when they activated their psychic gifts as well. Now, to me, that is very interesting, because I'm like, okay, there's so much more to this thing, that there's so much good to come out of it as well, you know? And this is only a transitioning period. It will change.
Mm. It's true what you are saying, because I mean, even in the book, like I've got down different chapters. The book is so multi-pronged. The first part, I share about my personal journey, especially the perimenopausal phase, then the postmenopausal phase. There's a chapter that speaks to men. There's a chapter that has got open letters to society, to children, to women, and all of that. And menopause through the cultural lens. And then there is the chapter where I talk about menopause and spiritual awakening. Because, I mean, the symptoms, they almost like parallel like this. I even had a Facebook post one day asking, like, when do you know that it's really menopause or it's spiritual awakening? Because I swear, some of the symptoms, they go head to head like this. And even me personally, I mean, I was Christian for the longest while, but then my curiosity became all the more bigger, and I had to actually write a letter to my church to say that I still believe in God, but I am finding myself going into a journey where I am seeking. I need to learn more. And I feel that some of the doors that I'm going to be opening might be deemed to be unchristian. So I would like to unmember myself, because sometimes some of the titles that we carry, then they can restrict us, they can limit us. Because somebody is like, you're Christian, then why are you curious about this? What does it mean? So I needed that liberty, that freedom. And that's one of the beautiful things about menopause, that you are so determined to live your truth. You're not about impressing other people at the expense of yourself. Hence, the Japanese call it the second spring. It's like you're born all over again. You know things that matter to you, and you receive things that are no longer important. You are able to find your voice and speak up for yourself. So I sent that communication, and they received it. And it's a very interesting journey. And I always say that anything that comes with peace, then you know that it's what is meant to be. So that decision, it was easy, it was peaceful, and I knew that I was going to lose some of the people. Then I was not worried about that, because, I mean, there is season for all of us. So when I lost some people, then I met other people that I'm caring with, and the journey of learning has just been so beautiful. So, yes, there is so much that is hardly spoken about menopause and the spirituality and the spiritual awakening. And it's so beautiful to be able to talk to you actually about that, because most of the conversations that I've had, we've never really gotten to speak about menopause, actually also almost being in dual lanes with spiritual awakening.
I mean, my whole left side is all like tingling and like for me, I feel my spiritual awakening truly at its full blown effect happened in 2022. And I, at that stage, you know, I also was raised Christian. I also believe in God. I also am curious about every religion. I want to understand so much about how, you know, I think where it started really becoming interesting for me, because I studied numerology. I've always seen astrologists. I started seeing a homeopath and Chinese medicine and looking at different holistic ways and, you know, how they look at things. And something that was very interesting to me is that there is a truth in every single belief system. And it highlights, if you bring it all together, it's actually the whole picture, because each one of them feed into something different. And I said to my homeopath, I actually want to get her onto the show at some point. She's also a kinesiologist. So a kinesiologist would take your muscles and actually go back in your emotional trauma and pick up things in your body. And your body tells her what's wrong with it. So she's helping me also through the menopause journey. And I was fascinated, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to make this year about building a relationship with my body. No matter how uncomfortable I am right now, I want to actually learn more about my body. I know a lot about what's going on in my brain. I know a lot what's going on, you know, how I show up and spiritually and all of that kind of stuff. But for me, having a relationship with my body, I think is a very deep and personal thing. Yeah. And it's important. And I think this journey of that we're on is going to transform us and make us so different and so resilient in so many ways, because we have to step into that new power, that new paradigm that's a catalyst to this big purpose that we're supposed to live. So I'm very excited about it. I'm not complaining. Just some days it's hard.
Yeah, I've also said that it's been the best thing that has happened to me in hindsight. Obviously, when you are not clued up as to what is happening, then it's difficult because you feel like your life has been turned upside down. But once you are informed and empowered, then it is very navigatable. As I say that, I mean, it is powerful to even own the not so good that comes with menopause and openly speak about it. Us speaking like this is power on its own, because, I mean, can you imagine how many women suffer through it in silence because they feel that, I mean, we cannot speak about this. But I believe that we were not put on this earth to suffer. Even if you are having a level of this comfort and whatever that you're going through, speak about it. There is just so much power about speaking about something, acknowledging it. Then already half the battle is won. And then the more we have conversations, because, I mean, you can find all the treatments to use, but there is so much that we overlook through just talking, talk therapy, that relatability with each other. As you were having the picnic on Sunday, just sitting as women, just talking. In the olden days, such were a thing. Like, as a Black person and the communal way of living, it used to be a thing. The man, they go to the river to whether fetch water or do whatever that they need to do to go work in the fields. Then they will sit and have moments of sisterhood, having conversations. But unfortunately, as life progressed, then those things were lost. And then the pandemic also happened, and then people became such silos. So movements where we are able to gather and just be, remove the mask, because that's another thing. This quest of perfection has done us a great disservice. And then it's like, if it's not perfect, then it's got no room, it's got no way. And it's like, no, we are living in a times of all of this virtual technology where people are spending so much time looking at their faces that they, instead of focusing on what they are talking about or connecting, they are actually looking like, my frown lines, what is happening? Why is my skin looking like this? And then now you find that the moment people get off this, they are wanting like anti-aging this. Last week we were chatting that menopausal women are the target market now. Anti-aging this, anti-aging that. And it's like, but is that all that we are as women? Like, we need to always show as perfection. Whatever happened to saying that, I mean, these lines, they're showing like how much you've been laughing through life, you know, your skin, it might look this way because you're an adventurous person. You spend time outdoors sometimes, but the quest of perfection, then you add menopause, the quest for youth, ageism and all of that. That is why most men believe that menopause, is, the black sheep of life, when we should be saying menopause. You've lived long enough. You've been blessed with the wisdom that comes with getting older. And sometimes, I mean, financially, you're doing better. So you're not like a struggling student that is still in the youthful phase, but financially they're struggling. So you are financially more independent. You've amassed quite a number of friendships, of sisterhood, people that you can call to, experiences and all of that. And those are the things that we need to highlight when we're mentioning menopause, that, you know what, there is so much. And of course, the periods when they stop also, it's like, like you don't have to worry about how you used to wear and all of that. You can wear whatever you want, whenever you want, because there is no mishap and all of that that might come.
I can't wait for that day to come. When I interviewed Cindy Gallup, she said that was one of the best things that's ever happened. And I can truly relate. The thing I think also for me is I'm so glad that, you know, the sisterhood that I'm trying to put together with Conscious Leaders, you know, like embracing our spirituality, our bodies, our mindset, our leadership, and how we lead the world. Because, you know, it's an inside-out approach. We can't just take care of one thing or the outside. And, you know, we grow up as young children when our parents and grandparents said to us, beauty comes from within. And it didn't make sense, you know, because the world we were looking at was not showing us that thing. And it's hard sometimes when you look in the mirror and you see that change and also say, okay, I don't need to make these altercations on myself right now. Let me just go through this phase. And if I still want to make altercations in 2 years or 10 years, let me just enjoy this moment and this graceful period in my life. You know, some of us still want to be a little bit bougie. But at the same time, I think there is also the element of, and I love what you called it, is menopause capitalism. This whole concept of, oh, now there's a great target mark, this independent woman, this woman that's, you know, thriving financially now, and let's get hold of her. So that exploitation is also alarming, because the facts that are being shared with us is not factual. There's not enough research available to help us. And we are becoming the research. Our stories are becoming the research. And there's some women doing amazing stuff. But we have a long way to go with this.
It is true that our menopause is under-researched, especially when you bring it home also for us here in South Africa. I mean, most of the stats that get used is always whether UK or the US stats, because pregnancy, puberty, yes, what about it? But this final phase is almost like nobody is paying attention to it. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, there is so many women that are trans every day. And the sad reality is they are informed because nobody talks about it. Whether even when we are still at school, biology textbook or the biology curriculum, it does not take this into consideration. Not even maybe just to gloss it over and mention it in passing, it hardly gets mentioned. So we coast through life not knowing that there is this other phase of life. The other day I was chatting to someone and they were saying that, you know what, only now that we are having these conversations, I am really thinking about it. I used to think that a woman stays on their periods for the rest of their life, because nobody has ever said that this phase also comes to an end. Then there is the other side. And it is up to us to actively raise our voices on this. And even with when we go for consultations, to be able to advocate for ourselves, speak to our doctors. Yes, the consultations are not long enough. And sometimes most men, they walk out of the consultation feeling like they were not really heard. They were just spoken to. Their whatever concerns were just glossed over. Hence, even Dr. Haver would say that in the US, they used to have a terminology for women that will come and complain about their menopause issues. They used to call them the whiny women, because they're just whining and whining. But as you said earlier, that we know innately when something is wrong, because we've been gifted that gift of knowing that I might not be able to put a name to it, but I know that something is off. So when you take it there to a medical and science-based space, it's like, but you can't mention it. You can't pinpoint it. We do not treat gut-driven symptoms. We think that it's my gut instinct. What are we supposed to do? We need to know exactly what it is. Hence, then women walk away feeling unheard. And I always say that it is important that even when you are sitting across from your doctor, if you feel unheard and your gut instinct is saying that I need to go for a second opinion, there is nothing wrong with expressing exactly that. We do not owe our doctors loyalty. And that's another thing, as human beings, especially as women, we'll stick to that one gynae or that one GP for the rest of our lives, because I mean, we treasure loyalty, and sometimes we think that maybe we are betraying the level of trust when we want to go seek second opinion. And there's nothing wrong, because I mean, what are the chances that one person is gonna be clued up about everything in life? It is impossible. You mentioned that you with Chinese medicine, I've done acupuncture when I was struggling with hot flashes and backaches. And it was a very interesting door to open. I've tried herbal supplements also, like your black cohosh and all of that for hot flashes. And I've looked at overall holistic approach, like sleep tracking, cutting down sugar, taking care of the mind, solitude and all of that, eating as right as possible. Because when you grow up, normally we are not taught the role of food, that firstly we need to eat for nutrition more than enjoyment. We are taught to eat for enjoyment. We want all of these things that taste nice. But when you think about it, normally those nice tasting foods, whether it's junk, the desserts and all of that, they don't have any nutritional value. Only when we get to this phase of life, normally then we'll go like freeze frame, as you say. Now your body is telling you, we love avocado because avocado is good for you. I remember I used to go through a phase of craving just cucumber. Like cucumber, I want it. When I want it, I would like feel the, I get in the car, drive to the store just to buy it, and I'll just have it on its own. And I could just like feel my body just absorbing the goodness out of it. So it is important to listen to our bodies when it is craving certain things. And somebody was joking to me, like, maybe there's an old lady that lives inside of you that used to love all of this bad food. Because sometimes I just want to have brown rice on its own, and I just want to taste it without any accompaniment. I just want the blandness of brown rice. And, you know, those are the interesting things about the body.
I'm loving it. And I think that also, you know, it's like, so I'm in the business of also of marketing and communications, and doing a more systemic approach to it. But the interesting thing for me as well is I believe that if you are in the business of ideation and innovation, that you have to act on your ideas, because the more you do that, the more ideas will come. If you don't, it's not going to expand. So you'll always see when I have things to say, I say it quickly because I know the next thing is coming. I've been obedient. But I think the thing is also with our bodies, the more you listen to your body, the more you feel the goodness of what you're doing for your body. And that's when you start getting into that pattern of, oh, I want to do more of this. But I do think the importance is slowly. Can't do it. It's not an overnight diet. It's just feeling your way with your body.
True. And you're talking even about the weight gain. I went through the phase of that. I was still going to gym and all of that, but I was putting on weight. And I've always had like a flat tummy, but suddenly I could see that like I'm starting to get like this spare tire, for lack of a better word. And eventually I had to take time out. I canceled my gym membership and then rediscovered my body. And that's when I cut down things like sugar, understanding that also there is so much hidden sugars that we consume subconsciously through all of these foods that we are eating. Normally drinking only water. Fortunately, I stopped drinking alcohol years ago. So that was a non-factor, for lack of a better word. I love my Masi. And whenever I have like Masi, I'm sure you know what Masi is.
I don't know, but what is that? Oh, Imazi. Imazi. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And whenever I eat a Masi, I always add sugar. And those were the little changes that I needed to incorporate into my lifestyle. That I love a Masi, but then I cannot eat it with sugar. Meaning that I can only eat it maybe a number of times a year, unlike having it every week. So making gradual changes, then I obviously listen to the body also, because you know the fatigue sometimes that you would get because you're not sleeping properly sometimes, whether you're up due to the night sweat or you're up just because of insomnia in general, or you're up because of the frequent trips to the bathroom. And then I needed to learn that if I go to the bathroom, when I come back to bed, I do not touch my phone. Because once I touch my phone, then obviously the mind is wider.
It's so true. Yeah. It's so true.
then it's a never-ending game of trying to fall asleep. So understanding all of those things, when we go to the bathroom, we just almost like feel our way to the bathroom. We come back, get into bed, try to shut down the brain. Understanding that it's not also about looking how everybody around you is exercising. You mentioned that with the brain fog, firstly, I used to be the girl that would be in front of class, you know, I would catch the routine, remember them. But with perimenopause, suddenly I will know the routine, but communicating the routine to the body, then I'll find myself like forgetting, delaying. Then I'm like, you know what, how am I going to navigate this? I had to have conversations with myself, which, you know, you're fine being on the side or being at the back. Then you continue with that. And some days you like, it's not really joint pain, but you're not sure what is happening. Then you're like, you know what, I'm not going to be doing so much cardio. And that is when also gyms need to be part of these conversations also, because most of the gyms, they do not cater for menopausal women. You know, your personal trainer is going to want to put you through the same paces that he puts through a man, that he puts through a woman that is nowhere near menopause. And your energy levels are no longer the same. Maybe you're struggling with joint pain and he is wanting you to keep going. If you're not clued up, you might think like something, like you start beating yourself down that why am I not able to perform? Not understanding that it is this phase of life. So my gym, I started talking to them that, you know what, you need to understand that a number of the members here a perimenopausal or postmenopausal. So when you're giving certain routines, then you need to give options. You need to give variations, because we cannot be paying a full membership or a gym you are not maximizing and getting the most out of it, because most of the classes is all this jumping up and down. It's all high pace and they've received the conversations very well, actually. And the more I speak also with other women, I realize that there is so many women that are struggling with menopausal symptoms, but they don't think that gym is a place to talk about such. I'm like, but it is a place to talk about such, because strength training is important during this phase of life also. But when you're doing strength training, it need not be in the same way that somebody who's training for Ironman is doing strength training. You need to tailor-make it to you look at places like your hairdressers also. They put you under the blow drying machine, the hair dryer is blowing hot air, and then you get a hot flash and you become a freak of nature next to all the other women. You suddenly glistening, you drenched, and they think like nice portable fans on the counters. Then while you are having your hair getting sorted, then you are still having that. And women are struggling with hair falling off sometimes, hair thinning due to this.
You are speaking truth there, because I colored my hair, and I used to color my hair myself. I colored it and I was watching the Wimbledon and my hair all burnt. Like, it's never done it like that. Obviously, the heat activated and my hair was long, 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 long. So I had to cut it all off. It was really heartbreaking. But I mean, I did leave it on for a little bit longer, but I've always had very strong hair. My hair could handle anything, but it was, oh my gosh. So I totally agree with that.
So, and those are the symptoms that are so easy to miss, because we hardly speak about such symptoms. And I think the more we normalize having those conversations, and also women start mentioning, as we're talking about ADHD, we always focus on the frequently spoken about symptoms. But when you look about it, every woman's experience is going to be different. And that is why everybody is just be like, raise your hand and say that, you know what, mine might not be this, but this is what is feeling different suddenly. We never used to know about driving anxiety. And now that I know about it and I've looked at myself, I've noticed that since this phase of life, I'm always like a nervous kind of a basket case. You know, I overestimate the proximity of cars sometimes, and I can be such a nightmare to drive with my husband, because he'll be driving and he is like, you know, like he can measure and see things properly. But me, I feel like, oh my God, this car is approaching too fast, slow down and all of that.
And I must tell my husband.
When I learned about driving anxiety, I'm like, you know what? It makes sense. This is what I've been experiencing. And also you see the number of women that are also frazzled on the road. And we're so quick to just say, ah, it's just road rage. But is it really just road rage, or also it is because they are suffering from this driving anxiety the moment they get in the car? They just get enveloped in this thing. And that is why it's been said that, you know, try sometimes and play calming music, or having affirmations that you are saying as you're driving. Because if you do not, by the time you get to wherever you're going, imagine it's morning, you're driving to work and you're waking up, you were struggling with insomnia or whatever. So you wake up, you're fatigued already. By the time you park to get to work, chances are everybody's running away from you because you are not the bestest of people to be around, because you are caring so much and you're ready to just fire at anyone and everyone for no reason but other than what you are carrying on the inside. I would like to read the open letter to women. I think it will help us to tie this conversation. So it says, "Dear women, since the official declaration in 2016, I've taken every opportunity to inform and educate as much as I can about premature menopause, perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, and also to share about my journey as openly as possible. Almost always, nobody took me seriously at first when I would mention that I was going through premature menopause. I was normally scolded for joking about such, or I would be told that I'm too young to be going through such. This further proved how ill-informed we are about everything menopause, that we always expect menopause to look a certain way. What is the face of premature menopause supposed to look like anyway? What is the face of premature menopause supposed to look like then? It is me, it can be you, even your friend or your colleague. We need to be informed not just for ourselves, but also for each other. As I mentioned, I went through this transition mostly solo because we are not informed enough. So even those that saw some symptoms were just as clueless. I encourage you to pay attention to your body, from physical changes to mental, emotional, and even spiritual changes. These changes are normally gradual. They do not hit all overnight. And the severity of each gets worse with time. So ignoring this and hoping it will go away is prolonging the unnecessary. Besides, early diagnosis means addressing things as early as possible, thus making the transition better and smoother. You are informed, most, meaning you will do better than me. Unfortunately, with premature and early menopause, one cannot just look at the symptoms and self-diagnose. Some symptoms are similar to other conditions. The overlap means mistakes can be made if necessary tests are not done. Tests are there to minimize chances of misdiagnosis. I know we have become a generation of Google, but that should just serve as a guide. Ha. So yeah, we need to make time for our health and overall wellness. There is no shame in premature menopause or menopause in general. It is a fact that some of us will never know what triggered it, but it becomes our reality, and we cannot throw pity parties because it has befallen us. Instead, we need to gear up and prepare to kick butt, serious butt. Some days are much easier, some days not so much. The key is being in tune with yourself so that you can kick butt as per need. You must have different butt kicking settings. Honestly though, after diagnosis, life with premature menopause is doable and was doable. It actually has a potential of being such a better phase. It all depends on your mindset. So pledge now that at the earliest sign, you will not delay, but attend to yourself. Our health is in our hands. We owe ourselves and loved ones that much to take care of our vessels to the best of our abilities. We cannot allow ourselves to suffer because we are too busy, we are in denial, uninformed or lazy to pay a visit to the doctor. I hope by sharing my journey, you have become better informed, whether for yourself or others. You will pay better attention to yourself and will be better able to support other women in your life. Lastly, make menopause conversations normal. That is the only way we will remove the shame and stigma surrounding this phase of life. To those fortunate enough to breeze through menopause, count your blessings. Importantly, be supportive and empathetic to those who do not breeze through it. The same way we encourage women who do not get period pains to be supportive and empathetic to those who do. We need to stand together so that everyone else can support us. Women for each other is what sisterhood is about. Sincerely, yours in sisterhood.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well done. Thank you so much for sharing your journey, having such an open conversation with me, and more importantly, for writing this book, so necessary, and the work that you are doing to bring about change and have more meaningful conversations with other women. Zali, how can people get hold of this book?
They can get the book either online through the platform called SA Books Online. They can get it through me directly. And that is through WhatsApp to 084-777-0122. And we can make it happen, whether in-person delivery or through courier. And the book, it's a big book, but it's not daunting. And it's such an easy read also.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. We really loved having you here and can't wait to share this episode with all of the ladies.
I had so much fun chatting with you. It feels like we could have gone on and on and on. And I am really looking forward to in-person conversation. Maybe one day, who knows? We're just putting it out there to the universe.
Absolutely. All that is possible. Thank you so much, Zali.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.